20 years ago, I had a memorable conversation with my beloved minister at Unity of Portland, Reverend Dick Everts. Reverend Dick had already been a minister for a couple of decades, and I was and the angels sang. I knew this was a good story. Anyway, he'd been a minister for a couple of decades, and I was continually struck by his deep spiritual wisdom and his great insights. And so one day I said to him, after all these years, it seems to me like you've got things pretty well figured out. What's really left to learn? And he looked at me, and he said, I just want to know God. And I said, so do I. But that idea stuck with me so much that a few years later, when I was asked in a Unity class to write down my personal mission statement, I wrote that my mission was, and it still is, to know God and through my life, love, and work, help others to do the same. Because I believe that all of us on the spiritual path want to know God, whether we ever use those terms or not. That we all have this innate longing to understand the mystery of life, to feel connected greater than ourselves, to know who we most deeply and truly are. And yet knowing God can seem elusive, can't it? Which is sort of ironic when you consider that in Unity we teach that God is everywhere present, and we spend so much time searching for God. Well, Paul Smith, the author of this fabulous book, we studied this some years ago, one of my very favorite books, Integral Christianity, The Spirit's Call to Evolve. And actually, today's talk is based on some of his teachings in here. He suggests that we have what he calls spiritual prosopagnosia. The prosopagnosia is more commonly known as face blindness. So it means an inability to recognize faces. So spiritual prosopagnosia means an inability to recognize the face of God. Well, that fits, doesn't it? So how can we sharpen our perception so that we can have a fuller sense, a fuller experience of God in all its dimensions? Well, as usual, we can look to our way shower for an example. We can follow his ways of relating to God. And if you notice, Jesus had three distinct ways of relating to God that were reflected in his language. So Jesus spoke about God, Jesus spoke to God, and Jesus spoke as God. And each of these ways of relating to God represents what we could call a different face of God, a different way of understanding and connecting to the divine. Let me say at the outset, because I'm sure there's some of you who are having a little response to this, when I say face of God, I'm not talking about God as a human being or God as a super guy up in the sky, the white beard and all that stuff. Face is being used metaphorically. Okay, so I'm really talking about three different manifestations of sort of that infinite energy and presence and intelligence that we call God. So first of all, Jesus talked about God. In this sense, he was talking about what we call the infinite God. This is the God that's everywhere present, that is in all and as all, and is essentially this continual, kind of unfathomable creative energy that is constantly expanding and evolving. In Unity, we would call this the transcendent God. You can think of it as God in the third person, if you will. Like God is sort of the it of all beingness. So this is the God that Jesus was referring to in John 14:28 when he said, God is greater than I. This infinite God is also what you experience when you stand out under the night sky and look up at the stars and the moon and the vastness of space. And you stand there with a sense of awe and wonder knowing that you are a part of that, but it is so, so much bigger than you. So this is the infinite face of God. And then Jesus would speak to God as the intimate God. The second face of God is the intimate face of God. So this is that sort of motherly, fatherly one of personal relationship. The intimate God is the God that Jesus would speak with when he went off by himself, when he went off to be alone and pray. He would speak to his Abba. Abba, which we translate as dearest father, or papa, or daddy. You see, a very, very close personal relationship, one-on-one relationship. So we could call this the second person God, if you will, God showing up in the holy other, the beloved one, the divine companion. And then Jesus spoke as God. As God. And when he did this, he was the inner God, the third face of God, the inner God. So we see this in his language when he said, I am the light of the world. And similarly, when he affirmed for us, you are the light of the world. Because we have that I am presence in us. We have that inner face of God expressing in and through us. In unity, we would call this the first person God. More commonly, we call it God immanent, God within us. We talk about this a lot, right? That our true nature is divine, that God is everywhere present, and we are expressions of God. And so this is something you hear about quite a lot in unity. I think it is perhaps best expressed by the late unity minister, Reverend Dorothy Pearson, who I will never forget this, would occasionally go, "Hello, God." Right? Because there it is, the one power, one presence, manifesting as you. So Jesus related to God in all three of these ways, the infinite God, the intimate God, and the inner God, and so can we. However, more commonly, we tend to pick one or two of these as sort of our favorites, kind of our go-to godness, our go-to way of connecting with the divine. So some people, for example, really love this sort of vast beauty and experience of being out in nature, right? The vastness of the divine presence when they're out in nature. Well, that's the infinite God. That's connecting to the infinite God. Some people relate to God as friend or companion right here beside me, right here with me at all times. This is the beloved one that we talk to, listen to, and learn from. The intimate God. And some folks just most favor turning deeply within to the very essence of our being to discover the presence of God there, animating us, breathing us. And that is the inner face of God. So listen, all of these are great. If you're doing any of those, that's fabulous. But in order to really know God, today we're talking about knowing God in all its fullness, like Jesus did. In order to do that, it means relating to God in all three ways. So today is an opportunity to do a little inventory and think about how am I relating to God? Am I relating to God on just one of these fronts, two of them, or all three? And there's a way that Paul Smith provides in his book for us to kind of consider which face of God might be missing for us. So here are some questions you can ask yourself. To see whether you are connecting with the infinite God, you can ask yourself, is my God big enough? Does it transcend the mythical Superman in the sky? Have I considered a God that is expansive enough to create, inhabit, and continue to evolve the entire cosmos? That's the infinite God. The intimate God. We can determine whether we are connecting with God in that sort of up-close and personal way that we saw in Jesus's way of worship. And we can ask ourselves whether we're connecting more personally. Is God, my God, close enough, right? Do I feel the sense of friendship and companionship Do I have an up close and personal relationship as with God as my friend, supporter, companion, and confidant? That's the intimate face of God. And finally, to consider whether we are relating to God, the inner God, we ask, does my God include me? Do I behold the divine in myself? When I look in the mirror, can I see God? How many of you can see God when you look in the mirror? All right, we got some opportunity there. So author Paul Smith says, no religious tradition has yet successfully recognized, integrated, and balanced all three faces of God. And you can really see this when you think about it. For example, traditional Christianity tends to gravitate towards spirit in the second person through Jesus, but tends to balk at seeing the presence of God within all of us. Saying we are expressions of God to someone with a more traditional or fundamentalist background can be considered blasphemy or simply egotism. Ever encountered that? When people say to you, oh, well, you think you're God. Well, it's not like that. It's not what we mean here. By contrast, in New Thought, we experience God out here and God in here, but we often overlook God beside us. We tend to resist praising, worshiping, or surrendering to a second person presence of God. So integral theorist Ken Wilber, how many of you have heard of Ken Wilber? Brilliant man, brilliant philosopher, theorist. He goes so far as to say these sort of new paradigm spiritual movements, I guess that includes us. He says they reflect a complete loss of spirit in the second person. He writes, what we find instead are extensive descriptions of spirit in its third-person mode, such as Gaia, the web of life, systems theory, Akashic fields, chaos theory, and so on. This is coupled, to the extent there is a practice, with spirit in the first-person modes, meditation, contemplation, big mind, big self, big me. But no conceptions of a great thou, to whom surrender and devotion is the only response. Wilber himself, a Buddhist, says, without a great thou before which the I must bow and surrender, quote, the ego can actually hide out in first and third person approaches. He adds that even Western Buddhists balk at the second person intimate face of God. When they become interested in Buddhism and learn about devotion, they say, this is what we wanted to leave behind. Prayer to a higher authority outside of ourselves, even in Buddhism. Interesting. But to leave out the second person face of God is to lose the intimate way. It's so precious to think about that, the intimate way in which Jesus connected with his Abba. We kind of lose that nurturing, close relationship. You know, when Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, your will, not mine, be done, he was asking to be saved from himself, from his own ego. He wasn't praying to himself, nor was he praying to the amorphous presence of God, the transcendent God. He was surrendering to the will of the divine other. I find this a very juicy topic. I believe that this second person God is the aspect that is most missing in unity. It has certainly been missing in my life, and I can see why. It's in unity we put a lot of emphasis on helping people discover the power within them, right? To really know and claim this immense power that you have to create and change your life. And some of that emphasis is to counterbalance the more traditional religious doctrine that tends to put the power outside of us in the form of either God or Jesus. And in the process, tending to reduce humans to being in sort of a begging, beseeching mode, right? Seeking favor or mercy or salvation. So unity, I think, has a very powerful message to share in terms of discovering that you have the ability. You have this, as Jesus was saying, you have this power within you. You are the light of the world. But I don't think it has to be either or. It doesn't have to be, you know, we either believe in our own power or we worship someone else for having power. It absolutely can be, and I believe should be, a both and. In fact, all three faces, but in particular these two, because I believe it is both possible and desirable to really know and claim and feel and sense and apply and exert the power within us, but at the same time, be able to praise and worship that same divine power in others. Whether it's the beloved one, the holy other, whether we consider that Jesus or a spiritual teacher or master, when you behold the divine in another, it can be as simple as who we see here and other spiritual seekers. You can behold that in people you pass on the street. In my experience, there's a sort of humility and a giving over of ourselves, right? When we take that time to appreciate the divine in someone else, in that second person presence, whatever that may be for us. And I personally find it very healthy and quite honestly liberating. You know, over the last year or so, maybe a little longer than that, I've been sharing with you some shifts that have occurred in my own life. And they really are on this front, not through any forcing it to happen, just kind of arriving. I feel that I have begun to experience a closer, more personal relationship with both God and Jesus. And it has changed my life. It is this sense of having a companion or a friend or a guide right there with me. It's a brand new dimension of spirituality for me. And I believe, I absolutely cherish my communion with both God and Jesus, and sometimes the angels, I throw those in there too. I enjoy communing with them, but I also have such adoration, you know, just such praise, such appreciation. It feels really good to give that. And I do feel that because that relationship has begun to be a part of my spiritual life, that it helps me more readily recognize the divine in the second person all around me, to see that beauty, that light in all life forms, human beings, plants, nature, and especially in animals. So yesterday, at our wonderful pet blessing, I distinctly beheld the face of God in the eyes of the dogs I was blessing. It was there, and it was beautiful. You see, this is another way of knowing God. If we open our eyes and apply some intention to it and are willing to practice, we truly can begin to see God everywhere and to feel God filling us up. So I have a little practice exercise for you today. More hand gestures. It seems to be the day for that. So this is the way to remember the three faces of God and to help to develop all three in your life. So it goes like this. I'll have you stand in a minute, but just watch me right now. Infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being. Intimate God, you are always with me. Inner God, I am the light of the world. If that last one trips you up, think of your I am-ness as being the light of the world. So I'm going to have you stand and do these motions with me. Hey, you needed to move around anyway, didn't you? All right, arms apart together, and say it with me, please. Infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being. Intimate God, you are always with me. Inner God, I am the light of the world. We're going to do it one more time. Let it really sink in. Ready? Infinite God, in whom I live and move and have my being. Intimate God, you are always with me. Inner God, I am the light of the world. Feel it? It's calling you. My prayer for you today and every day is in the words of that beautiful song that we just sang. Each and every one of you, may you know God. Let's turn now to our meditation. Thank you. What a sweetness to this topic. Let's close our eyes, get comfortable in your seat, breathing in this divine energy. Ooh, just feel it loving you right now. Feel it moving through you. Feel it sitting beside you. Breathing in and releasing. We arrive in this moment with our hearts wide open. We are attuned and ready for a deeper understanding and a deeper connection with God, or whatever name we prefer, divine energy, spirit, infinite intelligence, the One. Our hearts are open and we are receptive. We take a moment to give thanks for our individual spiritual journeys, the twists and turns of our spiritual path, the grace that led us to be a part of this community. We take a moment to appreciate the infinite God that somehow has guided our lives, that has loved us through every challenge. We appreciate the intimate God, the God we can turn to in our deepest prayer, in our time of need, and in our time of celebration. And we appreciate this magnificent presence of God within us, as us, longing for greater expression, the inner God, ready to be set free in new and wondrous ways. Incredible gifts we've been given. We take a moment now to attune to our own inner guide and our own next step in our spiritual connection with the divine for a few moments in the silence. Gratitude begin to wash over us. We appreciate what a joyful journey this is. This journey of spiritual awakening that we get to share. Thank you, sweet spirit, for incredible blessings pouring into our lives, for our own intuition guiding us in our growth. In the name of the living, loving, infinite, intimate, and inner God, we are so grateful. So it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace.
This is the time in our service now for the sharing of our love offering in support of this amazing spiritual community that we love so much.